You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. Welcome to the 150th episode. Yay! I've made 150 of these episodes, and Gene is here to help. Gene Aversa from the Waffle Press is here to help me commemorate. Is that the word? Commemorate this, you know, milestone.
Yeah, celebrate.
Yeah, celebrate. Yes. So what are we doing on this 150th episode? Well, I can tell you this. We're not reviewing Skyscraper. It's a good movie, but yeah. I think, Gene, have you seen Skyscraper yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably try to see it this week.
Yeah, so apparently everyone went and saw the new Gendy Tarkovsky Sony Pictures Adam Sandler joint Hotel Transylvania 3. I love
Gendy Tarkovsky, but I really don't get his love for those movies, because I love all his work. Samurai Jack, I love. The Last Season is great. More people should watch that. But what's up with his love for Adam Sandler vampire animated movies?
I have no idea. I've only seen the second one. So, and that was when I was trying out the new movie pass, or when I was trying out my new movie pass back in 2015.
Oh wow, it's been around that long.
Oh, I mean, movie pass, and maybe we'll get to this if we have time. But movie pass has been around since, like, for a decade now. Wow. It's just like now it has, now because of the $9.95 deal, it's kind of, you know, taken up, you know, it's now blown up. So, but even now it's kind of, you know, dwindling. Thanks to another competition and also some of the new policies they've installed. But maybe we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know where I've been, but.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today? We are going to be talking about, for the 150th episode, we're going to be talking about the kind of a little bit of the summer indie spotlight, sort of. Gene has seen Sorry to Bother Me, or Sorry to Bother You, my bad. And I have seen Leave No Trace, and we're going to do a non-spoiler, you know, very quick non-spoiler review of each one. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to review the Fred Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? So that is what we're going to do for today. And maybe at the end, cause I am kind of interested in, I'm actually kind of interested in discussing the movie passing. Mm-hmm. So, and now that there's the new AMC stub list, or AMC A-list stubs, whatever that is. So I am interested in talking about it, but maybe depending on time, maybe we'll, you know, either shelve it for another day or whatnot. So, yeah. So Gene, starting with you, cause this is actually the more popular of actually all three films. Can you tell us a little bit, without going to spoilers, about Sorry to Bother You?
Sorry to Bother You is a independent film that is very, it's a satire, but it verges on some absurdist elements to get its very relevant political message across. It's hard to do this without spoiling it.
I'm sorry.
It's by, his name's Boots. I'm trying to remember the director's name.
Boots Riley or Ridley? Boots Riley, I think.
Yeah, and it's it's about a telemarketer. He's a African American man, and he uses like his white voice in order to put his callers, or excuse me, the people he's calling to, more at ease, so they could buy whatever product he's selling. And it's a really good examination on just kind of race in America, and has a lot to say about that, as well as capitalism and wealth inequality. And it goes very literal with a lot of its analogies, and I think that's fine. Some people, I guess, weren't as keen on that, but it has a it has a very strong message. So, who am I? Who are people to judge? So, it's really funny. I was laughing a lot throughout, and it's like I can't think of any other film like it, really. That comes close to it. So, I think people should check it out. I don't want to spoil anything. I hope people see it. It's an independent film, and it could, if you don't see it within like the roll, the first weekend, it could go out of theater. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that movie.
I was about to say, with Sorry to Bother You, with movies like Sorry to Bother You, it's best to, it is best to see them as soon as you can, because not only do they go in and out because we got to, make room for the next weekend's, stock. Like next weekend, we got three big movies, coming out, and then another indie film coming out, Blindspotting, that's also got the same kind of audience, same, target, demographic. Yeah. So I do plan on seeing it Thursday night, because I'm finally gonna have the chance to see it Thursday night. But I've heard nothing but really good things. And let me ask you this, because I did hear this actually. I hear that the movie's trailer missells the movie at points. Is that true at all?
I don't know if I would say that. I think it's hard to market like a heavier film like this. I don't know, because I really don't know, the people that do advertisements there, it's an art of its own, and sometimes they have to market it a certain way. But I don't know. I don't know if it's mismarketed. Okay.
Because that was the one thing I did hear. Because I did hear is maybe like more dramatic, or not maybe dramatic, but much more darker than what the trailer was leading on. Which I don't know. I mean, the trailer is pretty dark. The trailer is dark. Comedy is pretty dark already. So, but I don't know. So you would recommend Sorry to Bother You?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I know we can't do spoilers, and I'm about to basically do a small review for Leave No Trace. That probably won't do justice, but I'll give it one shot, and that is.
It's not a drill.
He's got him. Stand up.
You alone out here?
My daughter's with me.
Dad?
Let's go.
Can you tell me where you live? In the park?
There's 435 questions. Respond true or false to each question.
Who taught you how to read?
My dad teaches me.
You're actually quite a bit ahead of where you need to be.
I wake up rested and peaceful most mornings.
true.
My day-to-day life is full of things that keep me interested.
True.
I have nightmares or troubling dreams.
Is your dad in the service?
He was.
Do you feel safe living with your dad?
We didn't need to be rescued.
Your dad needs to provide
you. So, Leave No Trace, it's from the director, Deborah Gulick. I think that's her name. I might be pronouncing that last name incorrect. But it's from the director of Winter's Bone. This is like her first film after that, all the way back from 2010. And the movie is about Ben Foster and his daughter, his daughter Tom. They are, you know, basically not necessarily homeless by, you know, any certain like reason. They're homeless by choice, in that they live in the woods and camp out in the woods every day, and they live off of nature and basic supplies they can get, basic like staples they can get from like local stores.
Yeah.
But as the movie goes,
scavengers.
Yeah, they're more scavengers, but they also, I mean, they still go into the movie takes place in Oregon, so they go into like the Portland area. They go like to the local store and get, you know, get money or get like, you know, money for, you know, for his pills. Because he is a, you know, I'm assuming an Iraq or Afghanistan veteran, and he's trying to, and he has like severe PTSD, so he has to like take medication. So, and they, you know, also like take, so they also, while they're there, they get like supplies like milk and eggs. And then, you know, and then one day, I don't think I'm spoiling it because it's kind of known at this point. But at a certain point in the first act, they get like picked up by the law and the Rangers, and they're basically relocated into a house, into a farmland, and they're trying to like every step of the way, they're trying to like, you know, get, you know, adequately adjusted into society, especially the girl Tom. But the problem is Ben Foster's character just can't, like, he really, all he just wants to do is just be left alone. And it's basically, you know, the movie basically turns into Tom's journey to basically learn how to make decisions on her own, and basically how she grows into her own adult, self-sufficient adult. And that's what, you know, and that's what really what I loved about the film, is that it's her growing as a character, in her growing into a more stronger, more, you know, demanding character. And honestly, not only that, but also you get like this very almost documentarian look at how life is in like the Northwest, like in Washington, and where everyone is in like RVs and in trailers or small farmland. Like, you get to see, you know, different facets of their lives, and I just think, you know, Gulick, I think she just does a great job of immersing us into this, you know, world of living in the woods, living in public land, then living in farmland, and then living in not necessarily poverty, but just living in like RV camps.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like scavenging resources, yes. All that.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, yeah. And yeah, and it's a real, and it's also a deep insight of what PTSD is, another insight of what PTSD is for certain people.
Yeah.
And how it can, you know, impact the people around them. So without giving too much away, I thought Leave No Trace was an excellent movie. If I had any issues, it is a slow burn, and there were multiple times where I'm like, you probably could end right here and it would be still profound.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's still one of the better movies I've seen this year.
Does it feel like it has like five endings?
it feels like it, but then once you get to the real ending of the movie, it makes sense why they ended there. It makes perfect sense. It's just kind of a slow burn because there's a lot of just there's a lot of shots of people sitting and looking out the window or sitting and looking out to the vistas or overlooking a mountain. There's a lot of those shots that you see in a lot of, like, you know, indie films that want to show off their cinematography. So, not to discredit those people, but there's a lot of that in this movie. And if you're one of those people that are annoyed by that, maybe not see this movie, or maybe take like an energy drink. Because there's a lot of those shots, and the ending's kind of just filled with a lot of that. So, but it's still a good movie. Really well done. I can't believe it took this long to get another movie from this director.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, Jennifer Lawrence did other stuff and went on to do bigger and better things. And it's surprising that that director hasn't done anything.
Yeah, and she's totally in her field. She's totally in her field and mode, like, in this. Like, you get the sense that this is the kind of movie she wants to make. So, with that, Gene, are you ready to move on to Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Of course.
A television program for children made its unauspicious debut on station WQED in Pittsburgh. Its host, Fred Rogers.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
What would you like to tell
me? I like you.
I like you, my dear. Thank you very much for telling me that.
You take all of the elements that make good television and do the exact opposite. You have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Low production values, simple set, unlikely star. Yet, it worked.
Hello.
I've always felt that I didn't need to put on a funny hat or jump through the hoop to have a relationship with a child.
He was always trying to get a message across in every show.
A week on death.
What does assassination mean?
On divorce.
So Gene, let me ask you this before we get into the review. What is your history with the Fred Rogers Show?
Oh, okay. Well, I watched it growing up at my grandparents' house, like many, many young children. All the PBS shows were great, but I think the special residence is for Mr. Rogers. Special place in my heart. And it was one of my favorite segments. It's one of those things where you teaches you a lot without knowing it just gets ingrained in your brain, I would say. And his intentions, you know, were always to educate children. So I certainly could thank him for a good childhood.
What?
I said I certainly could thank him for helping me have a pretty nice childhood, I would say.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you... Okay. I mean, that seems to be the impact of Fred Rogers and the show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That wrong before. It was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
But my history of the show is, and this is blasphemy of me to say, I didn't watch it a lot as a kid. I've seen a few episodes. I knew a kid in school that really, really loved it. But for me, you know, when I came home after school and went to, because when I was a kid, when Mr. Rogers was still on the air, I went to my grandparents' house to stay till my mother came and picked me up. So, I'm very familiar with PBS and its shows, but I only watched maybe one or two episodes of Mr. Rogers before turning before, you know, watching Arthur or Dragon Tales or...
Okay. I remember those.
Yes. So I remember watching those, but I always watched, but I always, you know, tuned in like after Arthur to Disney Channel. So after Arthur, most of the time I would just watch the Disney Channel. So I don't have that love or attachment that most people do to the movies or to the show. And I didn't, and I don't know why. I guess as a kid, I didn't appreciate puppets or any of that stuff. I don't remember like why I wasn't into it, but you know, that's just my history. That's my history with Mr. Rogers, is that I don't have much of a history.
I mean, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. So with that, Gene, what did you think of the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I think it's a very well-crafted documentary. The filmmaker, he actually wasn't a fan of Mr. Rogers growing up, or he didn't watch it, rather. And for him, like, the way he tells the story is just someone, like an outsider looking in on it. And it certainly sometimes it plays like that, but you know, you get to know Mr. Rogers more because, you know, growing up, there was a lot of like rumors. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard like in the courtyard, people said like he was like a sniper in Vietnam or something silly like that. And
conspiracy theories.
Yeah, conspiracy theories. And the movie really clarifies the person he was and his philosophy and what he aspired to do with his work, with his teachings. And it really shows that very clearly. I was very moved by it. Certainly had me tearing up a bit. And I think it's a very needed film right now with how current events are and the current administration, and just sort of world probably needs like more empathy towards each other. So, you know, I hope people really take these lessons and move forward with it.
And that's what I would take away. That's what I took away from the movie too, is that in times like these where, you know, we have distrust, we look at certain people and, you know, don't, and have like a, you know, discouraging or less than enthused feel about them. And in these times of being cynical, you know, very kind of much like, you know, the '70s when this was, you know, at its height, where everything was kind of gritty and dark, like times were not looking great. Nixon was Nixon. And so in times like these, we need Fred Rogers. We need a taste of, we need Fred Rogers or someone like Fred Rogers now to, in order to not only teach kids that it's okay to, you know, be afraid, but it's okay to also to have empathy and to emote empathy. And to so in these times we need now of it, but really the documentary can only give us a taste of that, because we do not have the amount of Fred Rogers we need for this time. And unfortunately we don't have someone like that. I don't know if anyone's ever tried to replicate the Fred Rogers formula or come close to that, but yeah. I don't think so. But I think most people that have tried, they've just gone too cynical, or it just gets, you know, too bogged down and, you know, it gets too bogged down in the problems of it. Like they themselves can't talk their way out of it. And you can see You can see that Fred Rogers was too, like, having a hard time coping. Not to go into too much of spoilers, but I mean, they do talk about how he was, you know, kind of like grieving like the rest of the country after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And even like when he did his like four episode or like, commercials for PBS and try to like inspire people, like to keep going, like it was even getting hard for him. So I think that's the point of the documentary, is that we need to hear that it's okay to that it's okay to have empathy and to like each other. And
right.
We need to hear those things.
No, exactly. Yeah, I would agree.
And we don't have to just like people that look the same, not even the same race or sexuality. We can love those people too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we get that in a nutshell, but I think certain people they need to hear that as well.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think so. It needs to, that message needs to be broadcast to as many people as possible. And in a documentary like this, it seems like more people would definitely listen.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Let's hope so.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I'm amazed that this documentary has done as well as it has. Like, it's Fred Rogers is a recognizable IP, but still, the documentary has been, I think it's now Magnolia's highest grossing film to date.
Oh, nice.
So it's doing very well. And even when I saw this movie in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, at the Regal Theater in Buford, it was like almost a packed house.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it. So the word is, so I mean, people are seeing it and people are gravitating towards the message. And honestly, and that's what I come away with, is the movie had its heart is so good that you kind of just forget that it is a typical documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's really what, cause here's the thing. I don't know how to review documentaries. I guess, you know, a really bad example would be the Danish D'Souza films.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those would be like the worst case of documentarian, but
okay. Yeah, like Hillary's America, or like a Danish D'Souza film or something.
Yeah. I would say that was the worst. That's the worst. But I mean, even that, I mean, I've seen a lot of really just good documentaries that are extremely powerful, like Blackfish, the Act of Killing, The Look of Silence. And I'm still trying to figure out like, how do I review a documentary on its content? Because it's like, how do you look at these, you know, messages being told, and like, how do you like critique the messages itself especially when it's so good-hearted?
Yeah, it's very very difficult too. But I think you just judge it by how much it's getting kind of its ideas across. And, you know, you can mm-hmm. see that by its box office and word of mouth. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, but yeah. I think that's a good way, but honestly, with the Fred Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? I think, is it Morgan Neville? I think I'm getting all the names wrong.
Let's look it up.
You be my neighbor, won't you be Morgan Neville? I got it.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So. So I do think the ideas are getting across very well. And also what's very important in this documentary is how those ideas are getting across throughout the film. Like, you know, when everyone talks about like the most powerful people they know or the people that have inspired them the most. And most of them reference their mother or some other inspirational figure, you know, and it's, you know, every defining example of how Fred Rogers impacted the world. And to see at the end of it all, the world still, and to see, you know, any part of the world denounce him is kind of unfathomable or monstrous. That's kind of the appeal I had. A striking, you know, way of showcasing that. But other than that, Gene, do you have any other points you want to bring up about the documentary?
No, I don't think so. I think I got my points across. I'm glad that it really showcased another side to him. There was stuff I didn't know about Mr. Rogers watching it. Like he really enjoyed the Eddie Murphy SNL parody. appreciate his humor, and it's a good time. Now the dry eye in the house, and I guess bring tissues. That's all. Anything more I could say?
It is, because the moment I noticed the most people getting teary-eyed, or you know, having like people getting the most emotional in the theater, is every time, and it's killing me that I can't remember the name of the kid. But there's the kid in the wheelchair that had the tumor in his spine that paralyzed him.
Yeah.
And every time that was brought up, and every time Rogers showed so much affection for this kid, you know, so much affection and a respect for this kid, it brought the house down. It brought everyone down. So,
yeah,
powerful moment.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the more powerful moments were with, who is the cop on the show?
Officer Clemens.
Those were the more emotional mm-hmm. parts for me, because of how much Rogers knew that he was seeping into like the culture with his messages through Clemens and doing it mm-hmm. subtly.
Yes. They're just washing their feet, and it says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It says quite a bit. So with that, is there any more discussion points on Won't You Be My Neighbor?
No, I don't think so. It's pretty good.
It is. It's a really well done movie. Well done documentary. Way to go, Mr. Novell.
Definitely.
So with that, Gene, have you seen any more smaller indie films?
Well, so yeah, I saw this summer.
Yes, I guess.
Oh, well, I mean, I've seen some indie films this year. Thoroughbreds was my favorite out of all the indie films. Trying to see a little bit more. It's been a very, mixed year for movies, I would say.
Well, when you have, you know, when you have arguably Black Panther come out earlier in the year, just wow us and amaze us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of hard to beat. Hard to beat that
scale. Yeah. Or I feel like it's been inconsistent, where there's like a period of, period of some good films, and then like period of some rather shitty ones. But
I agree.
Yeah, you would agree?
I would agree. And just a little quickly talking about this first half of the year, because we are technically halfway through the year. I felt in January we did okay, and then February, other than you know, a couple movies we were doing really well with Black Panther and Annihilation. But then in March, I can only think of one movie that I really liked from March, and that was, I can think of two. I can only think of two, and that is Red Sparrow and Love, Simon.
Oh, not Ready Player One?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that came out in March.
Yeah, it's three.
Okay, so three, but still.
Yeah. It's been a mixed bag, huh?
Yeah, and then April, I didn't really see a lot of movies from April. I think the only movie I saw from April, aside from The Avengers, is Rampage. Oh, no, I saw Quiet Place. I'm forgetting like all these movies that I've. That's the problem with 2018 is I'm forgetting like all these movies that have come out, and you know all these bigger movies that have come out, and some of them I really liked, and some of them I'm like they were very mediocre.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah,
and that's kind of how I feel about this year. Is you know every time we get one good one, there's like three or four mediocre or bad ones.
Yeah, just a more going mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to the independent film, Andre the Giant, that was a good documentary. I love a lot of 80s wrestling figures, Macho Man, the Hulk. I forgot, yeah. But Iron Sheik, and Andre, I think, was the best of the 80s wrestlers. He was bigger than all the characters on the team, and it really goes into his life and his diagnosis and his career. And I was really touched by it. I don't know if you got to see that.
I have not seen that, and okay. I have not seen that. And actually, you know, I haven't seen that many documentaries. Like even at the Atlanta Film Festival, I didn't get to see a lot of documentaries. And actually, Won't You Be My Neighbor and Leave My Trace were both at the Atlanta Film Festival, and I didn't have a chance to see them. So, I didn't have a chance to see them. But I did, get to see, as far as other smaller films goes, I did get to see Disobedience with Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz or Weiss, and that was a really good movie, really good film about attraction and trying to reclaim an old flame, but you know, kind of a controversial, but it was, you know, controversial to your own community, and also trying so hard to not give in to emotions, knowing what the cost will be. So yeah. I found that very interesting. And then I saw the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary, RBG.
Oh, I need to see that. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I definitely like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or I liked the documentary because it much like Won't You Be My Neighbor. Luckily, you know, we still have, you know, Ginsburg to talk to, but like the Fred Rogers documentary, you know, they go over her life and her success and what led to her being a Supreme Court justice. And why she is just totally worthy of it, and why she's basically become, you know, an icon for the youth, for the youth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I found that was a really good documentary. Again, I haven't seen that many smaller films. I saw Upgrade, but I mean, I kind of. The listeners kind of know what my thoughts are on that. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
And then Hearts Beat Loud is really good. That's another one that's out.
I was going to say Super Troopers 2 is pretty funny. The Cold Blizzard the Club Wizard, comedy troupe. So I definitely recommend that.
Okay. What else is there to recommend? I know there's other stuff. Oh, this weekend, speaking of this weekend, Blindspotting is finally coming out. And I think also Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade is also coming out.
Yeah, definitely check that out. I've heard good things from all my friends, so I'll try to make some time to see that.
I don't know exactly when Blindspotting is coming to Atlanta, but I know Blindspotting is coming out this weekend, and also Eighth Grade is supposed to get a wider release. I would recommend both of those movies. Those are two of the best of this year.
Of course.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Ghost Stories. I really enjoyed. It's an independent film that has Martin Freeman.
What is that about, Ghost Stories?
It's like a skeptic investigator. He stumbles on these like files of like inexplicable hauntings and gets just further and further down this rabbit hole of ghosts.
Okay. So I take it none of us have seen Gotti.
Oh God, no! I don't want to see that.
Vertical. You almost got away from me, Vertical. But no, you know, I would have seen your movie, but A, you didn't have a screening for it, and B, you basically told every critic out there to go fuck.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Gotti, you did it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You did yourself in.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gotti, do you want to talk about the MoviePass thing for a second before we go?
Sure. Yeah, let's discuss it. Do you have MoviePass?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I have it as well.
You haven't used it, or
I used it. I've had it since March. Okay. I am very happy for it. It saves me a lot of money. So I'm usually going to the movies a lot, and I rent an apartment now, so I don't have as much money before, and it certainly helped me out. I'll say that.
Yeah. As far as MoviePass is concerned, are you still with us?
Yeah, still here.
Oh, okay. As far as MoviePass is concerned, I love my MoviePass. I've had it for 3 years now, and I've had it even when it was $45 a month, and even then wow.
It's crazy.
It is. But even then I was still saving money because I was still going to the movies, and going to the movies down in Buford, I know for a fact it's nowhere near as expensive as going to LA, which is $16-$17.
Yeah. It's pretty expensive, yeah.
Yeah. But the tickets in Buford, Georgia, where I frequent the movies quite a bit because that's where all my friends like to go, and it's just, you know, the central hub of where everyone wants to go. So when I go to Buford, I usually spend about $13 to $14 a ticket for a late night showing.
Yeah.
So do that 3 or 4 times a month, and you'll definitely add up to, you know. You'll definitely add up to, you know, seeing a movie. You'll definitely just add up that price. And so if you have MoviePass, it definitely helps out. And now that it's $9.95 a month, it definitely helps out because not only are you saving money on tickets, but you're saving money on what you as a MoviePass holder has been spending before on the card. So it's been a significant savings, but I think the issue...
Because there are definitely issues.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I still live in an area where there's a movie theater like 20 miles up the road, and there's no service up there. So if I wanted to use MoviePass, I literally have to like call someone. I literally have to call someone to like, you know, tell them ahead of time, like, hey, I'm going to be at this theater, put the, you know, this amount in there, 'cause I will not have service. And that's kind of the hassle. But I mean, the other hassles have been, you know, just, I remember when the boom happened and like when everyone was buying tickets and people, and it was just very hard to get, you know, it was very hard for the cards to load because there was the server was just constantly crashing. So, I mean, so when their servers crash, you know, you do have to pay, and they do pay you back eventually, but it takes like a month or two to do it.
Yeah. It took a little while.
Mm-hmm. So, and also on top of that, like I cannot reserve my seating with for you LA and New York listeners. That's a big deal because, you know, and Gene, you can probably tell me if this is true, but aren't most of your theaters reserved seating?
Yeah. I mean, a majority are. AMC does that a lot. Most chains do that.
So if you wanted to see a movie and reserve your seat and you're going the opening night to see it, you either have to get your ticket that morning of, or you're not going to get a seat, or you're not going to get a good seat.
Yeah. If it's a very, if it's going to be a very packed show in there.
Yeah. So, or you just pay out of pocket, you know, to see that movie. So, I mean, that was always the issue too, is they don't have reserved seating. And so to catch up, the last like few months, they've been, the company that owns MoviePass has been dwindling, and they've been basically just throwing money down a pit, because when everyone buys more than one ticket and they're only paying $9.95 a month, you know, MoviePass is basically handing out free movie tickets for people. So they have up until this month to figure out a new solution. And they kind of have. They kind of have. They now have the peak pricing.
Okay.
Which I found interesting when I was, you know, buying my ticket for Leave No Trace. And I looked and they were like, okay, so peak pricing, what it is MoviePass will pay a certain amount for a movie in demand. And then you have to pay a surcharge fee to watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
In demand. But if your movie's not in demand or it's about to be in demand, then you'll be fine. Like Leave No Trace, I still got in, you know, with the card, and no surcharge was asked of me. So,
yeah.
Because it's a, you know, smaller independent movie. Anyway, so that, but if you were seeing Ant-Man and the Wasp or Skyscraper or Hotel Transylvania 3, you had to pay a price, much like our colleague Brian Collins had to when he went with his kid to see Hotel Transylvania this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a problem. Although, they've tried now to, like, you can now pay for IMAX pricing now. Like, you can go and see, just have to pay the surcharge fee. So, be fair, they're trying to get better. But the problem is, AMC Theaters has come up with their own version of MoviePass called AMC A-List, and you pay $155 a month. That's including the tax, and you get to see three movies a week. But you get to see any movie you want, and you get to see it either in 3D, Dolby, IMAX, Prime, whatever.
Yeah.
So now there's this competitor, and unfortunately for me, I still don't live near AMC, so I'm still stuck with using MoviePass. So, but Gene, I've been talking for a while. What do you think about everything I just said?
I think maybe competition will help MoviePass get a bit better, maybe. Again, it could probably screw people over. Remains to be seen. I haven't had a problem with it. I know a lot of friends did. Some friends did. I registered around March when it was like they were taking all the new members in for 1099 and like all the surge pricing I haven't been affected by. So there isn't really too much I can say with that for surge pricing. But it is a very the CEO, I don't know if he knows what he's doing, and I feel like it could probably declare some sort of bankruptcy towards the end of the year, so it remains to be seen. But yeah, I just wish they were just more consistent in their methods instead of constantly changing everything from month to month, it feels like.
Yeah, it doesn't help that they're basically waiting for a magical number of subscribers to basically start paying it off. And also they had really good ideas on how to offset costs. They were, selling data. They were, getting paid to, put ads on their site or to showcase movies more on their app so people would watch it. The problem is there's not that many, there's just not that many apps or there's not many studios that are willing to buy data or, pay for the ads on their own site because most, because of the bad publicity, because AMC's been very vocal about, being against MoviePass.
Yeah, AMC just really dislikes that service.
Well, and there's a good reason for it. A colleague described it to me as the problem with MoviePass is, what will happen if one day, in a hypothetical scenario, what will happen one day is MoviePass will be no more, but their customers will still think that their MoviePass will get them into more movies, and they'll have to deal with frustrated customers who are expecting MoviePass to work, and it's not.
Yeah.
Because of a fallout or something they didn't, because MoviePass has in the past, been the spotlight, and then kind of discreetly left the spotlight. So it's been odd, and their economics and trying to wait is not that great.
Yeah.
So they've waited as long as they could, but I think by August or September, we'll either hear that it's filing for bankruptcy or the prices will go up and then less subscriber and then subscribers will start to go away.
Probably see that. I will say though that I've had more trouble with AMC than MoviePass, to be honest, with their pricing and yeah.
You mean with did you try the A-list yet?
I haven't tried it, but I don't know. I get frustrated when I go to AMC with Stubbs members and the lines for the Stubbs members often taking longer to the regular line. And yeah, I don't know. I just get kind of frustrated with it.
Yeah, it does get frustrating because, does your AMC only have and this is not a bash of AMC, but does your AMC also only have one or two people working that dine-in area?
Yeah, mostly all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. You really just need one person, one or two people working that Stub Insiders line. And then have two or three other people work the other concession stand. But then again, I'm not a theater expert. I'm not a theater expert. I'm just saying, like, in a hypothetical perfect reality, that's what you need to do rather than just have one or two people worth a concession stand on a Friday night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a simple solution, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So with that, do you have any more... do you have any more thoughts on MoviePass or some summer indies?
I hope that MoviePass stays around till the end of the year so I could get my $110 that I invested in it worth its money. And I hope to see some more indie films this year, hopefully in the summer. But yeah, those are my thoughts. Congrats on the 150th episode.
Thank you.
Not too many podcasts could say that. And, yeah, it's always been fun work guest starring, I guess, on these episodes with you, man. It's always fun talking to you since the last year. Yeah.
Thanks, Gene. It's been a good 150 episodes, or I guess it's been a good 3 years of running this podcast. We haven't run it completely to the ground yet.
What's that?
We haven't completely run it to the ground yet.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
yeah, the plane still has one wheel on it and one engine, so
awesome.
Not a complete disaster. Despite the construction noise. But yeah. So with that said, Gene, thank you for coming on for the 150th episode. Where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, G9892. You can follow the Waffle Press on Facebook and Twitter. And subscribe on iTunes and YouTube. And there's some interesting videos coming up. And yeah, I hope you could hopefully see more of it. New studio space. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Still looks it looks like it's an actual studio when everyone looks like they're sweating.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's an air conditioner.
I know there's air conditioning. I mean, there's air conditioning in most studios, but the best studios are the ones where you can turn the air off and still have like good light, good sound. Those are the best. So sound looks great.
Oh, thank you, dude.
So you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale, and you can also follow the podcast at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. As far as other podcasts are concerned, we have two more retrospectives coming out this month. And then we have maybe one or two more episodes coming out this month of this podcast. And then the Skyscraper Read podcast will come out sometime either tonight or tomorrow morning as of this recording. So, because yes, I have seen it and it's actually not that bad. So it's actually good.
Very cool.
Yeah. Other than that, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back with you next week with another podcast.
In every show, a week on death.
What does assassination mean?
On divorce.
Some people get married, and after a while, they're so unhappy that they don't want to be married anymore.
He was radical. I know everyone says that, but he was radical.
They didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. My being on the program was a statement for Fred.
Neighborhood was a place where at times that you felt worried, scared, unsafe, would take care of you.
He had a singular vision of kindness and love.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all relationships, love or the lack of it.
Children have very deep feelings, just the way everybody does. There must be times when you do feel blue. I'm not feeling blue right now, though.
Me neither.
Won't you be my neighbor? Well, I suppose it's an invitation. It's an invitation for somebody to be close to you. The greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they're loved and capable of loving.
Won't you please, won't you please, please won't you be